Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
And a happy new year to all. Welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 8th and 9th. The parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, as we've known for 22 years, when the season opens or reopens, indeed calls for a new year celebration. Hey, man, everyone out there on the wildlife management areas that are stocked with pheasants and bobwhite quail, hope you enjoy it again. Pick your times, and you'll enjoy some quality hunting. And we had last week, we talked about the reduction in numbers and a reduction on stocking days on certain wildlife management areas. Go to page 55 in the digest, and all the numbers and dates are there. But I will say for this week, this the 11th and the 13th coming up in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area, Assunpink, Collier's Mills, Manasquan, and Stafford Forge, Dix, Glastrow, Millville, Tuckahoe, and Winslow will be stocked with ringnecks, and Greenwood and Peasley will be stocked 11th and 13th with quail as well. Again, everything is in the digest. Shout out and good luck to the veterans enjoying the waterfowl hunt, Fish and Wildlife, and federal government there. It's going to be down at Tuckahoe Management. I hope you guys are having a great day. And just a reminder as well, when it comes down to getting your buck permit for muzzleloader and shotgun, the cutoff date for the front stuffer is December 1st at 11:59 p.m. When it's that late, just go to njfishandwildlife.com, hit the permit thing, and permit shotgun is going to be December 17th at 11:59 p.m. Hey, we're talking TOG the rest of the program, man. Get ready, because on the 16th, it goes to five fish. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. November to remember.
Ryan Rack here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Coming up from Southern California, it's a marquee matchup of quarterbacks when Justin Herbert and the Chargers welcome in Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Both are looking to build on wins last week. The Chargers come in with a record of 6-3. The Steelers, meanwhile, at 5-3. Mike Golic and I have the call for you from Los Angeles on Sunday Night Football.
Listen to Sunday Night Football. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
The bunch of the pheasant and quail thing going on now, permit bows going on, it's absolutely crazy. Stripers are moving down the coast, but yet coming up next, actually, 10 days from now, on the 16th of November, the Blackfish, a.k.a. TOG limit, goes to five fish. Now, the past, I would easily say, month, if not 5 weeks or so, a voracious, hellacious TOG bite going on along jetties, some sod banks, one of the best unknowns here. TOG on the sod banks, the deeper edge of there, by Mary, Mother of God, there's some great fishing going on. But unfortunately, it's the one fish limit at 15-inch minimum, and I'm seeing some fish 20, 21 inches being caught from terra firma on land. And the guys out there in the boats are doing well. A lot of catch and release going on. Light tackle, a lot of fun. Join us online right now. We're going to talk TOG. One segment, one, a little bit of TOG, what's happening, and then some TOG hot spots with the tuna, summer flounder, sea bass, TOG admiral himself, Captain Peter Clark, biologist, DEP, and Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Marine Fisheries. And Mr. Clark, the admiral, is also in charge of New Jersey's incredible off-the-planet, out-of-the-universe artificial reef program. He was on earlier with sea bass. He is on now with TOG, and he is chomping at the base, chomping at the anchor line, man. Wait, do you use anchors anymore? Is it all spotlight? What is it? The TOG.
Things are start growling.
Hey, they're growling. How you doing, Admiral? Great to have you on Rack and Fin. I know it's a busy Saturday. Talk to us, Pete. TOG and see. It's, as I told you the other night, it's been insane, Pete. As you know, the reports, everything from up north, I understand the Point Pleasant Canal is literally on fire. And every other place, it seems, you have a little bit of rocks, you have a little bit of structure, you have a green crab or a sand flea, you're catching TOG.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of fish around, right? And especially up north, we're seeing a lot of biomass. The unfortunate part is that they're, 14 inches, 13 inches, but there's hundreds of thousands of these things around, which is good. Bad news, they're not keeper size yet. Things are looking up. Honestly, Tom, let's be real about this. The TOG fishery in New Jersey is basically Barnegat Inlet south to Cape May. That's where And it is phenomenal, world-class stuff right now.
Absolutely.
Oh, it has been for the last several years. But the stuff up north is just getting pounded. The absolute sheer number of spot lockers, so the ease of getting on a crumble anymore, and I'm not talking about a double anchor football field spot.
I know,
but
yeah.
Like these little snags is up for the taking for anybody. Anybody with that can push a button, you know? So, you know, what I'm saying is the effort and the pressure is absolutely astronomical north of Barnegat, and it shows, right? We're having some serious issues up northern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of small fish. I mean, biblical amounts of small fish, which is great, but not if you're looking for some meat to bring home.
This is true. Well, Pete, actually, there's been that many fish. I'm trying some new baits, cut baits. You know, I mean, I'm a crab guy, and I like even clam. In the winter, I will use frozen, cooked shrimp. But and it's a lot of light tackle, fun catch and release. Catching a keeper, yeah. Like, hey man, this is great. But just for the sheer fun of it, all lip hook, all jaw hooked, and Pete, it's just incredible. And me and lovely D. Marie saying, wow, and it's going to take a couple of years for this fish to get to, theoretically get to the 15 minimum. And here, but Pete, what a size range? It's a spread from 7-8 inches up to 14.5 on terra firma. That rod length, Pete, drop. Hook, bang, you're there. I'm sorry, I get
too
excited.
And that's one of the coolest parts about the abundance of cod in New Jersey that are, mostly these smaller fish up north, bigger fish down south from, like I said, Barnegat all the way down into Cape May. We can talk about that later, of course.
Yep.
But, there's access for everybody. Whether you want to, get on a boat and go hit some of our reefs or, the like you said, the light tackle fishing off of the jetties.
Oh, so much
fun. You connect. It's amazing.
Yeah. And Pete, you know, I've seen some. I stopped. I'm not mentioning tackle shops. I've seen them up to 20, 21 inches from the jetties. And one really big one. Pete, looked like it swallowed a quarter keg of beer. Came off a deep sod bank edge.
I believe it. Yeah, down south off, Little Egg or something?
La, 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 la. So, Pete, how's everything?
Wow.
Believe me,
let's talk about that for a second, right? Because everyone thinks about these things as living in the rocks or being in a cave or a hut or something or in a shipwreck. But listen, if you can find those undercuts on some of your sod banks with close proximity to the ocean, there you go. Like, and how many hundreds of miles of sod banks do we have in South Jersey? Let's be honest, right? Mm-hmm. So there's limitless opportunity to go find one.
And Pete, and some big fish too. The piers for Ocean City Longport Pier. I remember when I wrote an article about that for the fish, 20 years ago when that first opened. And there's still, access to the ocean right there. And there are the top, what's the old saying? Stack like cordwood. Crazy.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. So, we talk about getting onto a boat and having to, that whole rigmarole. But boy, I can remember, I think it was 15 or more years ago, you sent me some jigs that looked bizarre to me. They were flat, they had a big, 8-0 or 6-0 hook coming out, J hook coming out the back of it. I said, Tom, what the heck is this thing? try it, little brother. I'm telling you, you're going to love this thing. And I didn't until about 5 or 6 years ago. Now everybody jigs for these tog, and it is awesome.
Yeah, I remember I had the article in the Fisherman, I think it was 2001. A young lady I was seeing at the time, little thing, all of about 5'1", Marissa Tomei twin, if you can believe that. She caught a tog up there behind Rye, New York, on a freshwater jig. I'm surprised we hooked it and straightened out. Told the guy, Carl Dariano, love you, little brother. Haven't seen you in decades, but what a trip. And I said, he says, you don't need the rigs, man. We're fishing in Rye, New York, behind these trillion-dollar mansions, Pete, 7, 8, 9 feet of water off, inside of Parsonage Point. Just a jig head with a crab. Zeroed on a crab. He says, listen, just watch your line. It's like, when you're bass fishing with a worm. They pick up the wave and they go. That's what, and Pete, it's been get go ever since. Now, tog jigs, I have a gentleman coming on in another segment talking tog jigs and jigging, but Pete, that's changed. Togging. There's still the guys at Rig. Rigging has its place. But back to the things like Spot Lock and stuff, Pete, technology we know never goes backwards, but it's friggin' scary. It's what, how, like Captain Sammy, the Slam Racino, Mary M4, our Barnacle Light, Tommy P, with today's electronics and Spot Lock, find a piece of cover the size of a shoebox. You drop a greenie or a white lager down, you're going to get a tog. It's that that effective.
Yep. Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, Asian crabs are popular on a a jig. If you're up for going and harvesting your own bait, of course, I've seen Jimmy Leone. I'm going to give Jimmy a shout out. Boy, he can slay some togs with Asian crabs, that guy. But yeah, you know, tog is, we're not in the best shape right now as far as harvest size stuff goes, but I've been talking to you about our ventless trap survey we do.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's going really well, and for all species, things are looking bright for New Jersey, to be quite honest with you. There's a lot of biomass of everything out there on our reefs, but what we have noticed over the past several years is the amount of tog, and again, I'm not talking about your jumbos, your fives, eights, double digits. You know, we're seeing a few of those, but and we always have. But the number of smaller fish has probably doubled or tripled compared to previous years over the past, like, you know, 2-3 years.
So,
now.
Pete,
recruitment, right?
Yeah, recruitment. That sounds great.
Right. Yeah, it's on fire. You know, we're seeing a lot of fish in our traps. And of course, we pull them, measure them all, sex them, and send them right back down. We're not, you know, so this is a non-lethal sampling method.
Well, Pete, how's that auger for the future? Not putting you on the spot, and we're up against a break pretty soon. Listen, then we're going to be talking to him, a captain. I should say captain. He's captain, technically, on the Mad Straight, on the Mad Hatter, rather, but it's the Admiral. Some key reefs here in Jersey. We're going to. Lights out togging, let's say epic, spectacular, all that stuff going on. But Pete, how's that auger for the future? Is it a possibility with what's happening up north? Again, going by region, you have the Mary, the LIS, the New Jersey, New York Bight, and then Delmarva. There could be a reduction in season length, or not putting you on the spot, or bag limit, or length limit.
You know what, Tom? And when I say up north, I'm saying North Jersey.
Yeah.
I understand from personal communication with different captains up that way and biologists up in New York and Connecticut, Rhode Island, Mass, that tog fishing's, look, it's on fire, right? Huge fish, a lot of them, boat limits, things like that. But I'm not quite sure how the four regions are, you know, is it going to be a clean sweep across all four for a reduction? I don't know, but it seems like New Jersey could benefit from some kind of reduction. I don't know what that might look like. It could affect all three things. It could affect one of the three, size, season, bag. I don't know. But in all honesty, look, you know, tog fishermen are a different breed, Tom.
Oh,
right?
You ain't lying.
And we tend to be very protective of this fish. So I personally want to see this thing succeed moving forward into the future. And if that means taking some kind of a hit now, a reduction now, to really allow this population a rebound to where we're seeing, the whole state is seeing your double digits on a regular basis and plenty of them.
There you go.
Then it may be worth it, right? And, you know, I'll leave it at that. Like, you talk to my buddy Tommy Daffin down in South Jersey. He's, you know, they're smoking them year after year after year. But you go out with Tommy, and he's one of three or five boats. You know, him and Cope and a couple other guys.
Cope on the full ahead. Oh, my God.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you take that same day and go up to North Jersey, and you're looking at 150 boats. Right? So things are slightly different between that southern part of New Jersey and the amount of effort and pressure versus north of Barnegat. So Yeah, let me leave it at that.
Okay, leave it at that. Listen, we're up against a heartbreak. We have the Admiral, Admiral Peter Clark, talking Tog. We're going to get on some hot reefs, some of Pete's favorite sites, and also some of the structures down there. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
It's Sixers Raptors tonight on 97.3 ESPN with the voice of the Sixers, Tom McGinnis, calling all the exciting play-by-play action.
Quick drives in traffic, spins, keeps it, drives, left-hand layup, good. What a remarkable play by Grimes.
It's Sixers Raptors tonight. Coverage begins at 7:30. It's Sixers basketball all season long on South Jersey's radio home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball.
Are you kidding me? He rocks the rim with a right-hand jam.
97.3 ESPN.
Hi.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go, the gap below, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 8th and 9th. I have to say this one more time. The tuna, summer flounder, sea bass, and tog Admiral Peter Clark, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and also he's a biologist and also head of the Artificial Reef Program. And, is the El Capitan of the Mad Hatter at a Belmar. Ace tog fisherman, to say the least. Well, Captain Pete, we always talk the AC Reef, and rightfully so, because it is, justifiably so, I should say, it is just a tog factory. But we have some other reefs in the system. One, a small reef, Pete, that doesn't really get that much pressure, but surrender some nice tog and consistent amount of keepers. Let's talk the Little Egg Reef, Pete. What do you have on that?
Yeah, so Little Egg Reef is it's somewhat of a hidden gem, right? So it's not huge. It's in somewhat shallow water, but we talked earlier about sod bank fishing, right? So Little Egg Reef is situated right outside of Beach Haven Inlet, basically, is about a mile from it. So you've got this feeding system coming from Great Bay and all those sod banks. So when these fish are maturing up in the estuary, when they come out, they hit Little Egg Reef. There's a spot on Little Egg Reef. It was sponsored by a substantial barge. I want to say it's 150 or so feet long.
Whew.
And so check this out. We sunk this back in, I want to say it was 2018 now. It's in the book. All right. It's in the reef guide. Everybody can find the reef guide. Google New Jersey Artificial Reef Program. Go to Little Egg Reef. It's in the book. It was sponsored by the Beach Haven Charter Boat Association and John Lewis. You know that.
Shout out to Captain John Lewis on the I believe he's the Insatiable, right?
Insatiable.
There you
Bingo.
Go.
So he runs this really cool program called the Junior Mates Program, right? And what that does is it recruits these younger guys that are or gals that are interested in becoming a charter boat captain, and it pairs them up with a local boat that will show them the ins and outs and how to do the whole routine. Anyway, they sponsored this deployment, and within 13 months. Stockton University actually sent an ROV down on this thing. They've been studying it. In 13 months, Tom, I show a video of this when I give talks because it still blows my mind. It had more muscle growth on it. It looked like the thing had been down at the bottom of the depth with like hanging out with the Kraken for about the past 25 years. It had muscles all over it. Like it was like that Johnny Depp movie, The Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
You're killing me. And you're killing me, Clark.
I see the tog. I said, holy smokes, is that... That's a school of sea bass. And it was tog, and they were 18, 22 inches. Huge, huge fish on this barge.
There we go.
So, listen, it's the hidden gem. Doesn't get a lot of pressure on it. You just heard me complaining about all the pressure that we see up in North Jersey and the effect that it's having on our local population of togs up there. Because we all know togs they have site fidelity, which means that they're returning to the same wrecks, so they're staying in the same wrecks or rock piles for long periods of time. Anytime you can find a reef that doesn't have that kind of pressure, whether it be Garden State North, Garden State South, Little Egg, fantastic reef. It is worth exploring especially in November and that first week of December, where the water temperatures are cooling down. Togs are exiting the estuaries because they got to find deeper water that's more stable. So they come onto these reefs if they're, you know, if they're the 14 to 18 inches, right? The bigger fish are already out on the reefs typically. And you find these spots and you start, you know, poking around on them. And so I'll give your listeners that one look. It's a slow pitch softball lobber right there. You know, go find this barge that was sunk by the junior mates program and have at it, because there's definitely, it's got a lot of growth. It's been, you know, it's been seasoning, as we like to say in the reef business.
Captain Pete, you mentioned I call it the Garden State Sisters. I want to get back to Garden State South, but again, always in the shadow, it seems, of the big sprawling Cape May Reef, and you have the little smaller towns in the reef. That Wildwood Reef is a banger for tog.
Yeah, well, so you're absolutely right, and I think I'll be if I talk too much specifics about it, I'll probably end up getting keel hauled tomorrow after church. But listen, Wildwood Reef is absolutely lights out. Back in, I want to say, about probably 2016, 17, something like that, we did 182 barge, hopper scow barge loads of dredge rock, huge stuff, like the size of Volkswagen, of this rock. And Wildwood, so it was coming out of the Delaware Bay. So Cape May got a lot, Wildwood got a lot, Townsend's got a lot. Wink, wink, Little Egg got two, okay? Also in the guide. But now back to Wildwood. You find those mountains, unbelievable. I know personally that those Wildwood mountains are holding tons of tog, lights out fishing, beautiful sizes, you know, anything from roasters all the way up to your personal best.
He has a way with words, does he not, listeners? Okay, Pete, to the Garden State Sisters, Garden State South, what you got?
So Garden State South is one of those reefs that doesn't have a ton of deployments on it, but what it lacks in number, it makes up for in quality. Now, you got to remember, Garden State South is between, obviously, right? It's the southern sister. It's south of Garden State North, which is closer to Barnegat Inlet, but it's still north of Little Egg, which is right outside of Little Egg Inlet. So it's one of those reefs that you got to put some effort in to get there. It's offshore a little bit, so you've got some really cool water depths, up to 65 feet. So, look, there's plenty of military vehicles, hard metal structures.
Tog loves steel, is what I say.
They love steel. There's concrete. There's enough pieces on this reef to be able to hold a crowd, but I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a crowd on it.
Yep.
You know,
so that's changing as of next week, I'm telling you.
if I'm in Barnegat and I'm leaving out of Barnegat, it's probably where I'm going to go check. I'm gonna head that way, absolutely. And still, AC Reef is right within reach for those guys, and I love that reef. It's just the fact that it can double in depth within a couple of miles is just...
Pete, that is just amazing. Hey, listen, there's some sleepers. Again, I mentioned Townsend. Pete, that Ocean City Reef, we've enjoyed on, I think it was a Straker, we've enjoyed some nice talking on that as well. You know?
Yeah.
Listen, get NJFishAndWildlife.com, go to Saltwater Fishing Marine Fisheries for the reef guide, Pete. Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, or I tell people the simplest way to get direct access is to just Google or search for NJ Artificial Reef, and the first thing that'll pop up will be the reef webpage. Go check it out. We do, I know, much anticipated, and I've been getting lambasted for not having it done sooner, but I have my reasons. We are going to update the guide this winter, so everybody hold on to your seats. Coming.
Admiral Clark, great to have you, as always, on Rack and Fin Radio. You have a great fall season. God spares my Belmar way. I'm going to have to stop by and say hi and maybe
jump. Yeah, come on by. Yeah. We'll get some coffee.
You got it. Kevin Pete, you rock the house. Take care. Best of the family. Congratulations on the Reef Project. You keep rocking the house, bro.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate all the support.
One more time. Jersey's Reef Program, finest in the universe. I'll just leave it at that.
In the universe.
You got it,
Pete. Adios.
Take care. Admiral Clark, great man. Coming up, we're talking tog jigs. Tog jigs and tog jigging. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
This is Billy Schwime. Saturday morning, I'm back playing in pain, and Nick Urschel produced the show. The Eagles return after the bye to play the Packers on Monday night. And we will talk with Jeff Skiverski from Fox 29 News. Jeff returns to the Philly market. Hour two, Mr. Negadelphia, PJ Korda checks in, brought to you by the Vassar Pool Service. Next, it's our high school athletes in the spotlight with Fran McLaughlin, brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory of Egg Harbor Township. It's the Locker with Billy Schwime, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Okay, that was Peter Clark. We're talking tog. How's it looking? Some of his favorite restaurants, as promised. Talking tog jigging. Jigging, rigging. Different situations. Use one, use the other. Water depth, what have you. Water temperature, everything. A lot of things involved. It's more than just dropping a piece of lead down there with a piece of crab on it, as I used to think it was going to be that easy. Joining us on the line right now is... very cool guy, Dante Soriente. Way back when, he started a gig called Magic Tail Bucktails. It has now morphed, progressed, exploded into Magic Tail Outfitters. Full line of saltwater tackle, outstanding line of tog jigs. Just a little aside there, back about 2020 it was. Mid-Atlantic. Was it first and second or second and third when some of Dante's brought? He was on the boat himself. Man, they call him the Magic Man. Lady Val told me that once. He is the Magic Man. He's a guest on Rack and Fin years and years ago when he was getting going. He is back on now with talking tog jigs, the Magic Tail tog jigs. Dante, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you, buddy?
Lock cocked and ready to rock, man. Next week, it goes to five fish. It goes to five, Dante. I'll finally be able to keep some. But, Dante, the past, I told Peter Clark, past 4 or 5 weeks, and some guys are getting them sooner, it's been a lot of fun mayhem. Fishing the jetties, fishing some of the deeper sod banks, fishing up behind the condos, a lot of tog out there. Right now, it seems to be half and half jigs, rigs, but when it really gets down to it, it seems that bigger fish, more fish are on the jig. But it is, to me, it's sort of an art form, Dante, more than just piece of lead, piece of crab, dropping it down. Some nuances involved in there. When did you get in the tog jig manufacturing game?
It was probably about 10 years ago when I started. Do you remember Bob Mizak?
Mizak! Mies! I think he's trapping beaver somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever see him? Did you ever see his sheep's head? That guy's an assassin, man. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dante.
Exactly. So he, I guess it was probably 10 or so years ago, he asked me to make a tog jig. He was fishing, I guess, off the tip of the Barnegat Lake jetty.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I think it was myself and Stan of, at that time, S&S Bucktails.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked, I guess, both of us to make tog jigs. And we started with actually the lima bean was actually the first one I ever started.
Right, yeah. The lima
then,
bean shape, yep.
Yeah, and then that banana style jig was another jig that was out. And, you know, I guess for that year, I went out tog. I mean, I've been tog fishing forever, but the actual jig fishing is, you know, I guess probably about 10 years for me.
Mm-hmm.
We started and I started fishing it. And I learned that, you know, when you're putting a crab on the hook, that little piece of lead that's on a lot of the jigs for it to tie hair on them was just in the way. So that's when I cut that collar off and I made a collarless jig so the crab could actually go over,
mm-hmm.
You know, the hook better. I was learning that I was losing a lot of bait with the jigs when it was not really set on that good. So we cut off that piece of lead. We started tog fishing. Luckily, at that time, you know, the tog fishing was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was pretty much untapped. It's getting a lot of pressure now, obviously, so it, you know, it's not as good as it once was, but you know, at least for the, you know, the offshore wreck fishing. You know, it seems good on the jetties and the inshore structure. It still seems very good.
Dante, a question. The shape of your jig, trial and error, pretty much in a couple of weeks you had it knocked down. Did it take a season or two? What's the dealio?
I mean, so it probably took me, I don't know, I would say one season to get the actual jig I wanted. But then when you're into, you know, the commercial side of things, it's getting product. So I think I went through three or four hooks, you know,
that
so
hook is critical.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't that I wanted to do that. It was just, the, you know, the demand got high and we had, I was using an old salt hook and couldn't get them. And then we went through the pandemic those years and you couldn't get. Everybody started pouring their own jigs out of their basement. You know, everybody was taking the jigs we were making, just getting them knocked off by these Collins molds. And, you know, we couldn't get the mustad hook. So we all used the mustad hook. So, you know, unlike a lot of garage guys making tackle, I couldn't just not get hooks. So I actually designed my own hook. At the time, it was like 60,000 pieces you have to order for each size.
Whoa.
To design the hook. Yeah. I mean, it seems like a lot, and back then it was, but, you know, now it's not a problem at all. We go through, you know, we deal with 240 tackle shops, so they go quick.
The hook is like the critical, that's the critical, pun intended, people point, yes?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I mean, that's the most important thing. I mean, you know, you're a fisherman. I mean, a lead is a lead, same with a fluke jig. It's, you know, you're just getting it down to where the fish is. And then, you know, once you hook the fish, obviously the hook is the difference. I mean, so my hook that I have now, it's pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thicker hook for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing that right here, yeah.
If you're missing, you know, if you're missing some smaller crabs, you got to be a little more careful how you're putting it on the hook. But once you hook the fish, you're never bending that hook out on any blackfish.
Okay, joining us online is Dante Soriente, president owner of the incredible Magic Tail Outfitters, and his TOG jigs. Dante, now color, there's eight in your repertoire. The ones that I've had the most success with the past couple of years, the green crab, the chartreuse orange, which someone turned me on to that. And one guy said, we mentioned before, he says, glow. I said, glow, TOG. And these three, now I don't know if the other five you have, but these have been incredible producers. No matter what kind of meat I'm sticking on there.
Yeah. I mean, the eight colors I have, green crab, white legger, chartreuse orange, glow, bag sack, which is like an orange and black, all black. I have a blue glow and a white legger glow. So me personally, I only use one color.
Mm-hmm.
I use glow. That's all I use. If it's not good to me, color doesn't matter unless it's glow. And I don't know if it's, I started using the shard orange. I had success with it early, but I got onto that glow and I don't know what it is, but that's what I do my best togging. Most of the togging I'm doing is, you know, 60 to 150 feet of water.
Okay,
and
yeah,
so now I only use white crabs. So I don't know if it's the white crab, the color of it with the glow, but that's what I do. Green crab is my most popular color, hands down.
No, they're white layer, a pain in the ass, man. They're like peanut butter. Oh, you look at them the wrong way and they die.
Pain in the ass. I love them. You know, I've been just, you know, the last, I guess, 6 or 7 years, I helped distribute them to the tackle shops, but it's a pain in the ass. I can't tell you how many times I drive up to Freeport, New York, get 50 bags.
Yeah.
And it's hot out, and by the time I get done delivering them, half of them are dead.
They call it the punishing crab pilgrimage. That's what it's referred to. Well, Dante, now, with the bait, the jigging itself, dropping it down, I see guys just move it gently. Some guys actually...
I guess everybody's a little different.
Right, so using a jig properly, again, the type of structure you're on, finding a hole in the structure, basic jigging knowledge. What do you got?
Yeah, so I'm using, depending where, you know, how bad the current is, anywhere from a 1 to 2 ounce jig. I don't use much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then depending on the structure that I'm fishing on, if it's a real sticky bottom, you got to be careful if you're using a lighter jig because, as you know, a lot of times you have your jig on the bottom and you got the scope from the current and you just get caught early, you know, you get caught a lot. But I like to fish when I start, half a white crab, I leave the legs on the whole time, get them going. And once it gets on, I'm just fishing a whole crab. And I'll flip it out there depending on how the current is. You know, the lightest jig I could use, the better for me personally, because the bite you're looking for on a lighter jig is just when you're holding your rod and all of a sudden your line just starts going off. The, you know, the cod just eats the crab and the jig doesn't feel it and goes off.
Right, exactly.
That's obviously what you're really looking for.
Now, did it take you, a little while to get used to that difference as opposed to fishing like the standard two-hook rig with two chunks of crab? I had for a while. I was like, I learned up in Rye, New York, but then when I came back here, again, we were in shallow water off Parsons Point. Then fishing in deeper water, I was missing a lot of fish, man.
It's definitely a big difference. And, you know, I think personally on the inshore side, you know, once you get to learn how to use that tog jig, there's nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
Offshore later in the year, when I start fishing, you know, 90 to 150 feet of water, if we're going to Ocean City, Virginia, or down there, I think the rig is a little better.
Yeah.
You're getting down 12 ounces. You know, so they both have their time and place. Inshore fishing, you can't beat a jig, though. You
listen, really 12 ounces, that'll catch fish that heavy, Suriente. I ain't doing that.
I do 16 ounces sometimes. You know, you're out there, you know, but it's a whole different ball game.
Right.
You know, whether you're inshore and offshore, you know, just...
Yeah, Dante,
I like the inshore fishing. They fight a lot more. It's more into it, you know.
In the say 45 to 100 foot range, 120 foot range, braid naturally. And braid is notoriously not. People think it's very abrasion. Braid is not abrasion resistant. When you're going to a leader, Dante, or tog, are they really? I'll tell you about this sometime off the air. It was amazing when we had the Strength account. Absolutely amazing. Dahlberg said, "I told you so." But where, you know, fluorocarbon or hard mono leader make a difference? I mean,
I
see the line. I'm not going to bite it. I don't know.
I don't know if it necessarily makes a difference for the bite. I mean, you got people, you know, Jerry Fishmonger, those guys. A lot of those guys just fish pink Andy, and they catch just as many as anybody.
Yep.
I use fluorocarbon for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of... you know, the clarity of it, I just use it for the abrasion resistance. Mm-hmm. Same thing you were just talking about. It's just so much better on the rocks. I mean, even when I'm striper fishing, everything. Mm-hmm. Stripers, you could use wire leader. It doesn't matter. But I still use fluorocarbon just because it's harder, and I feel like it's much more abrasion resistant. Mm-hmm. So I, as far as the fluorocarbon mono, I haven't seen a difference, personally.
It's what you use it. But Dante, to the take now in the deeper water. Again, you're later in the season, December. Take different, your finger on the line. How are you just watching the line combination, the tip drop down again with the jig? What happens?
So, I'm using usually out there 2 ounce jig, and I use heavier braid than most people because I don't like breaking off the fish. You know, you might not get as many bites. The lighter guys with the lighter braid seem to get. And lighter fluorocarbon leader. I've been on boats with, you know, Yang and Mike Kim. We fish together. They're using 30-pound fluorocarbon. I'm using 60. They do seem to get more bites, but they also do lose a lot of big fish. You know, you get the 30-pound, it gets you down 18. I'm fishing, you know, 50 to 60 fluoro, you know, 50-pound braid. You know, so offshore, it gets tougher. The heavier braid you get, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know... So I guess it's all personal choice as far as that. When I'm out there fishing in the deeper water, you know, I'm just kind of getting my crab down. I jiggle it a little bit, stop it. If I don't get a bite for a little bit, I move the crab a little bit. And a lot of times it's just, you know, reaction. I guess I don't know if they're seeing it or just getting a little of the crab guts up and they're smelling it or whatever it is, but... seems to work for me.
Hey, joining us online is Dante Suriente, owner, president, CEO, whatever have you, of the incredible Magic Tail Outfitters, talking tog jigs, his tog jigs, and tog jigging itself. Dante, before I let you go, have you had the situation where tog, like, usually they're like me, people, they eat anything. If you saw me, you would know that, eat anything. Have they became picky? Could it have been the jig color? Could it have been the bait itself? Maybe the line? Have you had it where guys are catching, then they're not? Then they are, then a bite goes on, bite goes off.
Absolutely. I mean, and the more pressure these fish are seeing, the harder it's getting. I mean, I know you were just talking to Peter Clark. He fishes up in Belmar a lot. I mean, the Belmar fishing up there used to be phenomenal. It was just good. There's so much pressure that there's a lot of fish getting taken. So the fish get smarter. I mean, I remember when the Todd jig first came out, it was incredible. You'd be sitting next to the guys inshore 50, 40, 50 feet away with rigs, and you're catching 10 to 1 on them.
Yeah.
Not that you're a better fisherman. It's just the fish are getting picky in the I don't know whether it's, you know, you're straight to the bottom. There's not the leader. There's not all that current rolling through the double line where it's making a noise. But it definitely matters for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but
yeah,
right, what's the next question?
No, I'm saying, they can't get picked. Donnie, we're up against a hard break. Have to wrap it up. Dante Soriente, Magic Tail Outfitters. We're talking tog, jigs, and jigging. Dante, now I understand you said you're in 240 tackle shops.
Yeah, about that. About 240 tackle shops. I deal with, I guess, five or six different countries. We send out, you know, offshore product. We have a pretty big line. You know, we did that just because, I mean, Tom, you know, you've been in the business.
Yeah.
You never know what the government's going to do to us, whether they're shutting down this. I mean, look, they shut down the bluefin this year.
And Hutch said it the right way. It's not that the lack of bluefin, it's a lack of quota. Dante, they were just busting out all over out there out front. The bluefin were
everywhere. 2 days ago, I'm out outside the inlet. I saw more bluefin tuna along the jetty than bass. Yeah, it's phenomenal fishery right now. We can't really do it.
Okay, Dante,
spread it out everywhere.
Thanks for joining us on Rackfin. Listeners, go to Tackle Shop. Look out for, Magic Tail Tog Jigs. I call it the Magic 3. My colors, but Dante said glow. They all try them, and the hook is the difference. Dante, you take care. Be good. Best of the family. See you on the water.
Yes, sir. Have a good day, buddy.
Later, brother. Dante, great guy. I knew him from way back when he started, man. And I remember seeing him once at Atlantic City Boat Show. He was one man. It's like a whirling dervish, a cyclone, a little 10-foot booth. Amazing. You put in the time, and that's what happens. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Eagles football on 97.3 ESPN. The Eagles continue the 2025 season on Monday Night Football, heading to Lambeau Field to face the Green Bay Packers.
Love lines them up. Back goes Love. He's looking. He has time. He fires, and it's intercepted by Bourne.
Pre-game coverage starts at 7 p.m. with Merrill Reese and Mike Wick calling all the action starting at 8:15. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
So now you are primed for tog when the season goes to five fish on the 16th. Hey, keep with the saltwater vein. Just a quick reminder, we have an international event coming up. It's going to be up there in Somerset, New Jersey. It's going to be the weekend of November 15th and 16th. Yep. It's coming up, the International Fly Tying Symposium. Jersey boy himself, Chuck Foremski, the owner, started 34 years ago. Guest on Rack and Fin Radio on occasion. We got a couple of minutes to talk about it, especially on the saltwater, and the greatest fly tiers and fly fishermen in the world are here. Fly creators are going to be there. You're into the saltwater fly fishing. This is the place to learn. Chuck, how you doing, brother? Wish we had more time, but this event just keeps going and getting bigger and bigger. Chuck, how you been, brother?
I've been doing good. I've been just looking at the webpage we have. Everything that's going to be at the show is right on our webpage. We have a list of every fly tire that's going to be there, and some that didn't fill out the form in the beginning, but they're going to be there because it's an important event. I was trying to think what to compare it like. It's like the Oscars, I guess.
Chuck, you have the lock. Listen, this is the biggest fly tying event, international symposium. You have fly tires, fly pattern creators from all over the world going to be there. Chuck, it's going to be held where? The Doubletree? Where's that?
Yeah, the ballroom at the Doubletree. We have a new sponsor this year, Jay Stockard. They're the largest supplier of fly tying materials with two or three other companies in the world. They're going to be there with, probably a couple $100,000 worth of fly tying selection.
That is amazing. Listen, it's in Somerset, the Doubletree, right off 287 in Somerset, New Jersey. Easy access, 287, the Garden State Parkway areas. focus, very easy to get to. Admission is $20 on Saturday, $15 on Sunday, or $30 for a two-day pass. Youngsters age 5 and under are free. Children ages 6 to 12 are $10. Admission is by cash only at the box office. Now, Chuck, I understand you have other this is a whole encompassing weekend. You have a buffet or ball or something else going on with that?
Well, we have that banquet for everybody that's entire at the show. And sometimes we have some extra tickets. The banquet hall could only hold 70 people. We have tremendous door prizes. We have probably two bags of $40 to $50 worth of assorted materials that everybody gets that comes into the door.
That's it.
And just that will keep you busy for a long time.
Listen, the 34th Annual International Fly Tying Symposium, November 15th and 16th, next week in Somerset, New Jersey's DoubleTree. Chuck, give that website, please, and we have to let you go.
Yeah, it's International Fly Tying Symposium. That's it. Type it in, and there's about 8 pages of everything that you want to look at. The names of the people, the seminars, the featured tires. We have every book that's ever been printed in the last 20 years on fly tying there for sale.
That's
and,
it, man.
And the new ones are just about ready to come out.
And this is it. You want to know anything about fly tying, especially on a saltwater run? You want a striper on the fly? You want to flounder on
the
fly?
All the big striper flies will be demonstrated. You can get all the secrets and tips from everybody face-to-face. You don't have to look on your computer. They're right there,
Chuck,
for your questions.
We'll see you next week, brother. Be good.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye.
It is an international symposium here in New Jersey, the best fly tires in the world. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week.